Father, we are grateful today for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the privilege of being able to pray together another day, for the opportunity of looking into the Word of God once again. Thou dost know the Word, teach it to us. Grant our God, we pray, we may understand, and we'll give Thee all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles today, will you open them, please, to the book of the Revelation, chapter 7. We are studying together the book of Revelation, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Today, we come to the 7th chapter in our study, and we read from verse 1, "And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel." As you glance at the remaining verses in this paragraph, you will notice that there were 12,000 of each of the 12 tribes of Israel who were sealed. If you are familiar with the 12 sons of Jacob and the 12 tribes of Israel, you will recognize that there are two tribes left out, Dan and Ephraim, who are not listed in this series of 12. You need not be alarmed. We will be explaining it in a moment or two. You need to recognize that in the Word of God, there are several lists of the 12 sons of Jacob, or the 12 tribes of Israel, and not any of the two lists are the same. They are listed as they are in each place to emphasize certain truths. There is no contradiction. Rather, it is a testimony to the accuracy of the Holy Spirit. We continue our reading now in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, with the words, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four living creatures, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall lead them, and shall lead them into living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." We have read to you a long passage of Scripture, but we have done so even though we may not be able to look at every single verse we have read today, so that you might have the overall picture of what we find in Revelation chapter 7. However, I am very anxious for you to come to literal grips with the book of the Revelation and accept it to be, as I believe it is, a literal recording of what the future holds. For that reason, though it may be a bit repetition to some of you, I would like to keep before you exactly where we are in our study of the book. I like to hold before you verse 19 of the book of the Revelation in chapter 1, which is the outline which the Holy Spirit gave. You will remember that John was instructed to write the things which he had seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be after these things. We told you that the first part of that outline, the things which John had seen, are contained in chapter 1. Chapters 2 and 3 constitute the second part of the outline. And from chapter 4 on through the book, we find the things which are future. So we would remind you that as we come to chapter 7 of the book, we are thinking about something that has not yet happened. It is something that is going to happen. It is exceedingly important for us to keep in mind as we look at these few verses today that we are thinking about something that has not yet happened. We are speaking about some time off in the future. What time in the future? Well, we would suggest to you that these verses of Scripture are speaking about a period of time that is going to come upon the earth, known as the tribulation or the great tribulation. It's a period of time that will occur as soon as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is taken out of the world. It will continue for 7 years. It will conclude with the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth. Recently, one of our young people handed me a clipping out of a church paper. In the question and answer section of the paper, an individual wrote to the editor and said, "Why don't we hear more preaching about the tribulation? Why don't we have more information presented to us about this particular thing?" The editor wrote back and said, "It's very simple. We don't hear anything about it because the Bible doesn't say anything about it. The Bible speaks about tribulation. The Bible speaks about tribulation in a general way. But the Bible does not speak about any period of time known as the tribulation." Now, I do not understand where that gentleman got his information. Certainly, he was not familiar with his Bible, or he would not have made a statement like that. This chapter is evidence. If you will look down at the question which the angel asked of John in verse 13, "Where did these people come from, John?" John answered him in verse 14 and said, "Sir, thou knowest." The angel said to him, "These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Now, the Greek here is particularly emphatic. It says they have come out of the tribulation, the great tribulation. So there can be absolutely no question in anybody's mind that this passage of Scripture is speaking about a definite period of time called the Great Tribulation. We've been looking at that period of time, the Great Tribulation, as it has been described in the book of the Revelation under the symbolism of the seven-sealed book. We mentioned to you that each time one of the seals on this book was opened, some drastic judgment occurred on the earth. In the last part of chapter 6, the last time we were with you, the sixth seal of the seven-sealed book was opened, and a terrible earthquake occurred on the earth and was felt around the world. But now, in chapter 7, we come in the scripture to what we refer to as a parenthetical passage. I don't particularly like to use the term because it leaves the idea with some people that we are thinking about something that isn't particularly important. We don't want to leave that impression with you. This is an exceedingly important passage of Scripture. But we call it a parenthetical passage because it comes between the sixth and the seventh seal. It's just as though God says, stop the action for a moment. I have a few things I want to explain. Then God explains something that is going to happen on the earth that is not related to judgment, something that is going to happen on the earth that is related to the mercy and to the grace of our God. If you are familiar with your own Bibles, it is an interesting thing to notice how many times in the midst of judgment God remembers mercy. As a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit records that one particular characteristic of God in the midst of judgment is that He always remembers mercy. And so here in chapter 7 of the book of the Revelation, we will read something that is going to happen during the tribulation. That is a mark, an illustration of the mercy of God in the midst of judgment. We are going to notice, and I will mention this first to you, so you will know where we are, and then we will be able to see it in the scripture. We're going to notice one of the greatest evangelistic campaigns, one of the greatest revival meetings, if you want to call it that, one of the greatest missionary endeavors, if you want to use that term to describe it, that this world has ever seen. As a result of the preaching that will be done at this particular time, there will be so many people born again, so many people from every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation will find Christ as their Savior, that when John tries to number the group, he finds it an impossible thing to do. All of this, mind you, in a brief period of something like 3.5 years or a little bit more time, because this does not begin to occur on the first day of the tribulation. It begins right about the middle of the tribulation period and continues through the end of the period. We're going to have to stop there with the thought of a great revival yet to be.